It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
And we are back. Jason Matera guest hosting for Dory Monson. We are going to get to the fastest 15. And I hate to start it out with this because it's so sad, Nicole. It's tragic. It's still ambiguous as to, besides for the dead people, as to what in the world went down. And that's this Alec Baldwin news. Now, Alec Baldwin, who's not the most likable character, there's a lot of people on Twitter sort of stomping on this unfortunate situation, which itself is unfortunate. I know Alec Baldwin is a jerk, to put it mildly, but Mike, this is just awful. Discharging a prop weapon that apparently had live ammunition, killing his director of photography, and injuring his director. And here is the 911 call associated with the incident.
Can you go ahead and get a helicopter on the trip, please?
And unfortunately, that patient was never stabilized. She was pronounced dead when she arrived at the hospital. So Baldwin is filming his movie Rust, which takes place in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And earlier in the day, he actually posted to a Twitter or Instagram, one of his social media feeds, a shot of him. And he looks kind of...
I mean, I think it's partly character, partly, but then but also he's aged a lot lately.
He does. He looks like he's aged. I just have so many questions. I've been on the set. I've filmed commercials with a prop weapon, and they were super careful when there's a prop weapon on the scene. And this was just the weapon was never used. It was for a crime television show, and they just want it there in the shot. And even though it was never used, nobody ever picked it up. You still are yelling that you have this prop weapon on the ground, and it seemed gratuitous to me at the time. Like, everyone knows there's a prop weapon on the ground. Who's going to go ahead and pick it up? And yet, in this case, where they're actually filming using prop weapons and having shooting scenes because it is a Western, then you think they would be even more careful. But what is he? There's so many questions running through my mind. Why is his director of photography in the shot to begin with?
Right.
Why is Baldwin pointing the weapon at her? Why is he then firing it at her direction? Like, there's so many. Not that I'm suggesting.
And it hit two people.
Two people.
How does it hit two people? And
do blanks actually? Now we're getting, we get commentary. I always thought blanks were what they suggested. Well, we're blank. You can't get hurt. Certainly not killed from firing a blank. And now we're getting people say, no, if you're within 20 feet of a blank going off because it uses gunpowder, you can get seriously hurt or even die. But you have these prop weapons that use blanks, are not supposed to feed live ammunition. So was it a blank? Was it live actual ammunition? These are all questions that will be resolved during the investigation. And here's the wild part about this, Nicole. And this is from Fox News. It just is on given a description of this movie, Rust. So, this is just wild. In the film, it says Baldwin stars as Harlan Rust, an outlaw who helps his estranged grandson get out of prison in Kansas after the 13-year-old is convicted of an accidental murder and sentenced to hang.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know how that movie continues. I think they were early in production.
I mean, it's going to continue. And there'll probably be, unfortunately, now a lot of buzz surrounding it because the only other movie I remember having, I'm sure there are others, but the one that comes to mind is Brandon Lee, Bruce Lee's son. I believe he was killed, right? With a similar situation where there was a prop gun that had a live ammunition and he was killed on set. So these are rare, but
scary,
awful situation. Okay.
I can't imagine living with that. Unreal.
And again, because it doesn't make it easy because Baldwin is a jerk. I mean, he is mm-hmm. an awful human being in so many ways. And people on Twitter, because it's Twitter, because Twitter mm-hmm. is a big dumpster fire, such a toxic website. And they're just rubbing salt all over this mm-hmm. this wound of his.
Twitter's toxic.
And I think it's unfortunate, number one, because you have a person who has died. So you don't want to do that. You want to have some type of grace and sympathy mm-hmm. for the situation. And you do want to have grace and sympathy for people who are unsympathetic individuals. And in that instance, you take the moral high ground. Plus, nobody knows what the hell happened except for a shot went off and one person died and one person was injured. Okay, moving on. Any updates on that situation we'll give to you as the show unfolds. Moving on. Nicole, I am conflicted about this story, but also sort of sympathetic with the student. So a Texas school district, this is a public school district, they have a ban on boys wearing or having long hair. And this 9-year-old boy, apparently in the school district, it's the Magnolia Independent School District in Texas. This 9-year-old boy who refuses to cut his hair has served, because of his refusal to cut his hair, has served an in-school suspension for a month. He's been deprived of recess, according to MSN.com, deprived of recess and normal lunch breaks, and the school banished him from campus to an alternative school. All the pressure this fourth grader for not getting his hair cut, and the fourth grader refuses and now is suing. Of course, his parents are the ones who are behind it. But so part of me is like, man, you know, this fourth grader has some cojones, some gumption.
Well, I'm sure he has somebody behind him,
of course,
motivating him.
Of course. He's not. His name is not identified in court. It's because he's a minor. And the ACLU is bringing the lawsuit, saying the suit is discriminatory and violates his constitutional rights. Now, I'll let the legal eagles fight over if it's truly a constitutional issue right here and if anyone's rights are being violated.
It's a private school, right?
No, it's a school. Oh. It's a public school district.
Wow, I'm surprised they even can get away with that.
Yeah. Well, no, but you can still have dress codes.
Sure. And I actually think it's funny. I went to I won't call the establishment out, but I went to this establishment a couple weeks ago with my niece for dinner. And one of the persons making dinner for us was wearing Christmas pajama pants while they worked, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I, on one hand, feel like, can you not dress up a little bit for work? How have you been raised?
But wait, what kind of establishment is this?
It's a dinner place. It's a pizza place.
Okay, a pizza.
But it's an upscale pizza place.
So it's not like one of these fun places that would encourage people to
no.
go with your pajamas.
But I feel bad for that place because it's so hard to get workers. So they were very backed up. There were lots of people waiting. Mm-hmm. I understand that it's hard to get people to work. And if you're a good worker, but you're wearing Christmas pajama pants, I guess nobody cares anymore. But on the other hand, I'm like, how have we not taught these people these kids that it's important to look professional? And it's not
to be groomed.
There's,
yep.
there's some, you can bring your personality and still look professional or still look appropriate for a situation and still have, you know, but I'm guessing what happened with this hair thing, because I know this is a style right now, is for boys to have long hair and poof it out. So it's like, cousin it style, but poofy. And so I know quite a few kids, I have friends' kids that have this hairstyle, and it is hideous. And I don't know what they're thinking. But so I see how they're saying, like, they're trying to teach him, this is how you dress for the real world,
yes.
right? But, I mean, when we get told that it's just for long hair, we're like, well, you can have long hair, whatever. But no, it's probably long, ridiculous looking hair.
Yeah, and it's, I think it's fine to have for school. I wore it was a private school, but I went to private school most of my life, and we had uniforms. And I had to wear a uniform, and they were strict on the uniform, and it was because of that model, right? We're trying to imbue some sort of cultural norm in you that you have to look your best, right? You dressed your best, and that's a large problem with people working from home too. Is there's no, it's like, oh, I'm gonna wear my pajamas all day. Well, actually, there's a mental shift that takes place when you actually get ready for work, when you put on that maybe suit or tie.
Well, you're also telling somebody that you care about what you're doing.
Exactly. And you're not, you know, serving me pizza and cocktails while wearing Christmas pajamas in October. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Here's the thing, though. It's not like the school doesn't allow long hair. It's the length of the hair. So this is from the school's handbook, school district's handbook. The hair must be no longer than the bottom of a dress shirt collar, bottom of the ear, or out of the eyes. So bottom of the dress shirt collar, that's pretty long, Nicole.
Yeah.
That's actually long for a guy.
I have a hard time with this one because, again, it's like it's government in a sense telling you how what you have to do to your body, which is
But it's a 9-year-old.
Well, I don't care what age is. I mean, that's the same. What if you apply it to the vaccine?
Like, no,
I don't want them saying different. You have to get a vaccine if you're 9. But
you have to style it
in an appropriate manner.
Okay, but the kid could not show up wearing no shirt, right? He could not show. There are other standards that are in place for dress codes. Now, you may think, and I said I was sympathetic.
That's not the body. If you're like, I'm saying, like, your hair is connected to you. So I'm going to side with the kid on this one. But I think that there is a styling effort that the school can enforce.
Okay. What if the kid didn't want to come to school? He was opposed to showering. It's his body. He was completely opposed to showering in any type of cleanliness.
No.
It's his body. Why not?
That's not the... No,
it is the same.
You're not altering your body. You're altering your smell or your...
It's your body.
The stuff on, stuck to your body.
Maybe he has an affinity for BO and he wants everyone else to have an affinity for his... I said I was sympathetic with the kid, but it's not like they ban long hair. How long is this kid's hair, though? That's what I don't know. If they allow hair that is down to your shoulders, essentially... Mm-hmm. I think that's long for a guy, for most guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think very few guys can pull off long hair. Very few.
Right, but there are plenty of guys that do right now. I mean,
they look ridiculous.
In the NFL and
Well, the NFL in particular, I think, I don't know why anyone has long hair because all these massive dreads, because you can get pulled by your hair too when you're going for a tackle.
Yeah.
But anyway, the kid's 9. I don't think they should be suspending him, right? It just seems excessive. Separating him from his classmates, all that seems very excessive for a kid who, you know, is going through some phase. Right?
I don't know. It's a strange fight to pick out of all the things.
I agree. Out of all the things, maybe this part of Texas, they don't have to have fights over CRT or...
Tell them to put it in a ponytail. Like, I think all of those things are acceptable solutions to this problem. Put it in a bun. Put it in a ponytail. Luke Wilson, he's got a thing.
And then if you allow it, chances are the kid, it will fade. Like, you allow it and then the new fad will come and he'll not want... point in fact, when I was like, I don't know, 12 years old, men having earrings was a big thing in the 90s. I don't know if you remember this, but guys wearing, it's right. faded significantly over the years. But like, you know, I remember my uncle had an earring. You had it in the, was it the left? There was one ear you didn't have it on. I think it was the right ear. But you had it in the left ear or you had it in both ears.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends would have earrings. It's a diamond studs too. Like you had two studs. And they were mostly fake, right? Fake diamonds. People had it on with the giant studs. And I would just, everyone had them, and I was like, man, they look cool. I want one. And my parents, like, no, you're not getting an earring. No, you're not getting an earring. No, you don't. It's going to look ridiculous. All that. No, why do you need an earring? Finally, they relented and said, you know what? Jason, go ahead. I was like 13 or 14. Go ahead. You can get an earring. And when it was okay for me to get an earring, I said, I don't want it. I never got an earring.
You saw the ear gun.
I was like, whatever. I don't need it. I kind of wish I did it so I can have pictures of how ridiculous it would be to have an earring at 13 or 14 years old. But it's a phase.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I think it's a weird bite to pick.
Okay. I want to get to this. Where is it? Okay. Who did it better? So Kamala Harris is campaigning for Terry McAuliffe in Virginia. Virginia was supposed to be a blue state and it may still be a blue state. But there's a tight governor race between Slimy Terry and Glenn Youngkin, who is challenging him. So Kamala Harris is on the campaign trail and tries to kind of, you know, talk in a little bit of a southern accent in southern Virginia.
I have a motto. I eat and drink no for breakfast. Don't hear it.
Oh, that's the wrong one. Sorry. That one's also kind of funny. But here it is.
Thank you. Okay, you know what I want for my birthday? I want this man to be elected the next governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
I want this man to be elected the next governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. It was obviously she's trying to. Well, I don't know why politicians do it, but. You heard Kamala Harris's fake Southern accent.
Which is just a good excuse to play somebody she sounds like.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far.
Yes.
From where I started from.
Okay.
Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
I don't even, what was she talking about at the time?
Oh, gosh. I forgot.
That was years ago. I will say this. Hillary's accent is much better. Kamala Harris' Southern accent. She nails it. She sounds ridiculous. I can't believe she's getting applause. Kamala Harris, no applause line. No applause line. Not like Hillary. I mean, Hillary had it. Say one thing about the Clintons. Mm-hmm. As inauthentic as they are, and they are inauthentic, they were good politicians, especially Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do a Southern accent?
No.
You do it for Dory's show?
No.
I'm awful with impersonations.
I am awful with accents.
I am awful with them. I don't even try. It would sound ridiculous. All right.
I'm not a big fan, too. Dory does the little kid whiny or little whatever kid at the door and
I just
drives me bananas.
Terrible. I should work on my...
I should work on my Southern
Southern accent to show up and... Who thinks... Then someone thought this was a good idea for her. All right. I had another one, but we'll save it. We'll save it.
Good plan.
Good. No plan. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Dory Monson. When we get back, I wanted to get to this commentary by Aaron Rodgers. I know you might not be a fan of Aaron Rodgers, but he was, I think, right on the money sounding off on the cancel culture, the wokeness that has consumed society for some trash talking. He gave out to the Chicago Bears. We'll get to that and a lot more on the Dory Monson Show with me, Jason Matera. Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. This is Jason. Sean, what is this? Is that someone breathing in the background of the music? What?
Yeah, it's a DJ duo called Teenage Bad Girl, and this song has a breath sound on it.
Okay, someone like breathing in your face? What is that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the Teenage Bad Girl is breathing in your face. Okay. Isn't that what normally happens?
I don't know. I don't hang out with Teenage Bad Girls.
Oh, you don't?
I don't.
Teenage Good Girls, that's you.
Well, no, it's not Teenage Good Girls either.
You hang out with your wife.
With my wife, yes.
Yes.
Yes, of course. So I am unfamiliar with Teenage Bad Girls and Teenage Good Girls.
Yeah, same here.
Are they on Hinge? Nicole, are they on Hinge? Teenage Bad Girls? Breathing in your face?
Oh, teenagers? No, I hope not.
Okay.
I don't think so.
No? I don't know what Hinge is either. I found out about it. No, I did know what Hinge is. I didn't know the extent of it.
Right.
It's,
No, it's for adults. It's,
yeah, it is. Okay. All right, it's good to know. All right.
Adult Bad Girls.
Okay.
You started this.
Well, I'm listening to just the breathing going on. I've never, it's unique background music, bumper music to come to the show. Anyway, pleasure to be with you. My name is Jason Matera. I'm guest hosting for Dory as he's taking some much needed time off, but he will be back. Dory's not a fan of Aaron Rodgers, I would imagine.
Oh, I mean, I think he respects his skills.
Oh, who doesn't respect his skills? But like, he's not a fan of the Packers. No. Of course. Yeah. No. Okay.
I mean, I am.
You are?
Oh, I've been to a Packer game. I mean, I'll go Seahawks first, but Packers are right there behind them. I used to be a fan when I was younger of the Packers.
Why?
Because I have family in Wisconsin, and more...
All right. So there's more... That makes sense. The connection. All right.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. So Aaron Rodgers is taking on woke culture. Let me just set this up for you as to what went down. He and the Packers... I gave an absolute beating, just a beatdown to the Chicago Bears, which, quite frankly, is not that hard to do. The Bears have sucked for a while now, right? Pretty awful. They were supposed to get better, though. They lost. The Bears lost 42-14, and Rodgers was hurt on a hot mic. Apparently, someone gave him the finger. I think someone in the audience. He was in Soldier Field, so someone in the audience gave him the finger or said something to him, and he responded by saying that all my bleeping life, I own you. I still own you. I still own you. He owns the Bears his entire bleeping life, which is objectively true. It's a true statement. He owns the Bears. But apparently, it was picked up on hot mic, and a former Bear, Olin Krautz, he told the local Chicago sports station, The Score, that Rodgers' words were disrespectful. Did he have to disrespect and offend a whole city? What? Did he have to disrespect and offend an entire city? I own you. Apparently now that is disrespectful. I own you. This is just normal, I think, trash talking that would take place even in high school games. And I played basketball growing up. I own you. We said that to people all the time. But Rodgers, you know, disrespected the entire city of Chicago. Well, maybe if the Chicago Bears should elicit some respect by being good and not sucking all the time. But anyway, Rodgers decided to, he does a podcast with a former player. Who's the former player he does the show with? Oh, Pete McAfee. Yeah, he does the Pete McAfee show.
Pat.
Oh, Pat, sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pat. And he goes on to sort of have fun with this, but also makes a salient point about the cancel woke culture that we're in now.
This woke PC culture. And if I may just, you know, elaborate just slightly on my feelings on this, if you don't mind.
This is awesome.
I think that in general, my feelings are this. There's a PC woke culture that exists, and there's a cancel culture at the same time. And it's based on people's own feelings of maybe personal miserability or distaste for their own situations or life, or just the enjoyment of holding other people down underneath their thumb. But
that is so true, by the way. We're going to get to Russ. The people who are the biggest purveyors of woke culture, Nicole, I just see this all the time. They are miserable human beings. Miserable. They look like miserable human beings. Generally, they have purple hair. Generally, they're like 500 pounds. Just look at the protest of Dave Chappelle that happened from Netflix employees. Look at the people who were protesting. They look like aliens. They do not look like normal human beings. They're just consumed with self-hatred, and they have to take that out on the rest of the world.
When you engage in this culture, you're immersed in it, and you're in it so much, and these ridiculous sentiments and storylines and narratives get to drawn out about me about pick a topic, you know, from, you know, my family to my leadership style to, you know, and they just go on and on. And people start thinking, well, he hasn't responded to it, so it must be true, right? And they run with these stories, right? But then when I respond to it and set the record straight, when I finally said, okay, enough is enough. This thing has gotten so far and it's so ridiculous at this point. Then I'm being sensitive. When week one, I have been there, unfortunately, before in a few dud games, and people think I don't have enough passion. I don't care about what's going on. You know, then I'm passionless. I'm not all in. When I make a statement after a touchdown run and puts up two scores, now I'm not a sportsman. Now I'm making this shit about me. You know, this is the thing that goes on. And ultimately, Pat, there's a game within the game, right? And in this game, there's a player and there's a game. And if the player abides by the rules of the game, he's a part of the game. Now, the rules of the game are that you must acquiesce with the woke mob at all times. You must. However, when you live above the game does not exist. And, Pat, that's where I'm at. These things, I realize them, I see them, but I'm not a part of this game that's being played. This game is being played out by these individuals, and I see it, I hear it, but to me, it's comedy.
He lives above the woke game. I understand the sentiment by Aaron Rodgers, but unfortunately for many people, I use Dave Chappelle as an example, because he's the most recent, it's hard to live above the game, because if you challenge the status quo or the prevailing orthodoxy in any way, then you have a woke mob that tries to get you deplatformed. Now, it's going to be very, it would be very difficult to deplatform Aaron Rodgers, and I don't even know if he's active on social media. I don't know, he probably doesn't care. He's, you know, he's not playing in Green Bay. He's has his feet up in his Malibu mansion. I mean, he's going to go down on one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. So it's easy for him to say that. But when you have people who are comedians or just want to speak their basic values or have a fun conversation, a dialogue, it's hard to do nowadays, especially with the dynamics of social media, because you can have these randos on Twitter that have a campaign to get you fired. And so Aaron Rodgers is absolutely right that there is a game, and people will say, I'm telling you, and it happens all the time. It happens all the time where people will not be honest about their viewpoints in any business setting, really. They won't be honest about their, I'm telling you, even it affects even talk radio where people are supposed to be, give their opinions for a living. They are paid to give their opinions. And there are some things that are considered third rail that weren't third rail even just 5 years ago. And they won't go there. Why? Because of the mob outrage. And the mob outrage is only, it's only a select few. It's an online mob outrage too. That's the thing. Some of these people, they have their Twitter handles. You don't have no idea who the hell they are. They're anonymous, but they'll gin up this outrage. And then you have executives at these corporations who, for some reason, have fealty and are obsequious to the mob outrage. With Netflix having, what, 20, 30 people who protested wanting to control the content of the entire company. Why? Because a world-famous comedian hurt their feelings. Oh, my gosh, he get a joke on our expense, and we need him fired. We need the content pulled. That's what we're dealing with today. And the only way this stops is having more people like Aaron Rodgers, people who actually have the cachet in society, with people who actually have the respect and really the pipeline, the visibility to say enough is enough. No, I'm going to say what I'm thinking. And you know what, woke mob? You can go screw yourself. Until that happens, we're going to get more of these rules that people are going to subject themselves to so they don't get canceled. Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory Monson. A lot to get to on this Friday afternoon. We will be back in a flash. Welcome, welcome. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Dory Monson. And I'm on Twitter during the break, and I'm always looking for interesting stories that we can help improve the quality of the show. And what do you know, Nicole? Jenny Durkin is at this Venues Now conference, it's called, talking about Seattle eventually getting a new NBA team. And she's having a conversation with Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, indoors and no mask. She's speaking. No, I know this is going to come as a shocker to everyone that Jenny Durkin is violating her own policy put in place. But no, you and I, when we have to go to the gym and our work, oh, I don't wear a mask at the gym, but whatever. Another story. But everywhere else where you go, you need a mask on indoors, except when you're Jenny Durkin, except when you're the ruling class. The ruling class, the rules don't apply. They're for the serfs out there, those who need to follow Jenny's advice. My gym, but I'm not going to mention the gym's name because I don't want to get them in trouble, but they really don't care at this point. I mean, they're
nice.
I have my gator on.
I have
to walk through the front. Mm-hmm. As soon as I get past the front desk and check in, it goes down and I work out without a mask the entire time. Now, 95% of the people there are still masking up like good sheeple. But there's at least 5% of the people who, same thing, no mask. And the gym doesn't, you know, they don't care. They're tired of it, too. They're tired of it, too.
I know. I feel bad for the gyms because, I mean, I paused mine and I have not gone back because I went back during the mask lifting and then I haven't gone back again since. But I cannot elliptical with a mask on.
I know.
And not doing it.
The science of it. What's interesting, too, is you can go to a restaurant, they have the new menus, right? You get on your phone, you get the phone menu, so there's no contact. It's a contactless menu. And then when you want condiments, they come and they bring you condiments that like 1,000 other people have touched because of science, because of science. In the gym, I wasn't even going to mention this, but you can go in the sauna with another person, right? In the sauna with another person, nobody wears masks in the sauna. Another person who is like a foot from you, butt naked, in the sauna, no mask. But when you get out of the sauna and you're walking around the locker room, you have to wear a mask. What's the science behind that?
Zero. I have no science to back that
There's
up.
There's no science. That's all. Yeah. Everyone's phoning it in. Okay. Someone who's not phoning it in is Elon Musk. Elon Musk is an interesting guy in so many ways. He relocated his company to Texas from California because California is a dumpster fire and he wants out. But someone asked him, and he actually responds to people on Twitter often, responds to fans or critics, and he always makes news when he responds. He was asked by someone on Twitter, the president of the United States has refused to even acknowledge the four newest American astronauts who helped raise hundreds of millions of dollars for St. Jude. What is your theory on that and why? As a recent launch into space, these civilian astronauts. So why hasn't Biden acknowledged it? Elon Musk replied, Biden is still sleeping. He is still sleeping. Biden, the Biden administration and Tesla do not get along. There was a, and this is all, it's all ideological. The Biden administration had a electric vehicle summit. Now, Nicole, if you were having an electric vehicle summit at the White House, wouldn't it make sense to bring, I don't know, the company or a representative from the company that is leading by far, not even a close comparison in the electric vehicle market? Wouldn't it make sense? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, Tesla wasn't even invited because they have non-unionized labor. So, no, we're not going to. It's not about electric cars. It's not about renewable energy. It's about conformity to a left-wing orthodoxy and ideology. Biden is still sleeping, so somebody else is pulling the strings. Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory Monson. We actually have Biden, when he wasn't sleeping and gave a town hall, with Anderson Cooper, some astounding sound bites coming up for you and a lot more with me, Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory Monson. We'll be back.